This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, September 11th,
2008. Here.
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 Here. Thank you very much. Okay, at this time we have open microphones. I'd like to remind everyone that all undergraduate students are non-voting members of the student assembly. Is there anyone, any community members who would like to speak or address any issue that's not on the agenda? All three of you. Nope. All right. Moving on. Two announcements and reports. I will start with an announcement that is not on the agenda. That is in regards to Rule 20 of our standing rules, which actually I'll ask our parliamentarian to read quickly.
Rule 20 in Section 3 is any college or constituency who lacks representation as a result of a seat being vacated or unclaimed may be represented in the interim by a liaison appointed by the president and confirmed by a majority of the SA members. A liaison holds no voting privileges but represents the concerns and needs of their constituency. They may also represent the student assemblies of their college. The liaison post shall be terminated immediately upon the declaration of replacement via an election.
Okay, thanks. So, on that note, the three seats that are not new, new student seats are the Cal seats, LGBTQ, AAT, those three seats. Those three seats are also conveniently unopposed. So, at this point, I'm going to appoint Eric Shannon as the LGBTQ liaison, Nate Baker as the AAT liaison, and Octavio Sandoval as the Cal liaison. Again, these three have all headed in there. No finance. Okay, so assuming nothing else goes wrong, they will be kind of after election and late in the end of the month. So, I have made that action. We do need a majority approval by the student assembly. So, are there any questions or comments first at those three appointments, in regards to those three appointments? At all. Okay.
Did you call for acclamation?
You can do a call for acclamation. There's been a call for acclamation. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Is there any dissent to the call for acclamation? Okay, that has been acclaimed. Eric Shannon and Nate Baker and Octavio Sandoval. Welcome to the student assembly. Cool. Next, on announcements and reports, we're actually going to start with an elections update by Director McDermott. You can say that, whatever you want.
Alright, so we've had our petitions and petition challenges. Only one person was eliminated for not having enough petitions. We've also had one person drop out and want his name taken off the ballot. That leaves us with 22 candidates for freshmen. The LGBTQ, AAT, and CALS are each unopposed, and the receipts have been turned in, so campaigning for them is basically over. We have 3 people running for transfer, and 6 people running for university assembly seats. Just to put this in perspective of where we've been in the past, in 2005, we had 11 freshmen running, 2006, we had 22, 2007, we had 12, and this year we're back up to 22. So it is a great year for numbers tying with 2006, which is one of our biggest years. So it should be a great year, and we should be able to get good candidates out of this race. The final thing I'd like to do is remind all of you that you can come watch the forum on Tuesday on North Campus. It's on the election calendar. Tony, can I ask that you put it into it's in the SA election or our SA calendar as well? And again, it's on North Campus. All of the candidates have announced to come to the forum, where I will entertain you all as the moderator. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Are there any questions for Mike in regards to elections? All right. Next, pronouncing some reports. Oh, did you want to make your
yes?
Yeah. Oh, okay. DC Basil.
Yes. I have been a little negligent in reminding all SA members that executive board meetings are open to all you guys. And if you have any issue you'd like to bring to the executive board, we have our meetings Tuesdays. Thus far, the time has been a little malleable, but we generally try to have them between, you know, 5:30 and 6:30. We may have them at 7 o'clock on Tuesdays. I'll try to remember next week to send an email letting everyone know when we have our executive board meeting. So if you have anything you'd like to bring to the executive board, know that you're always welcome to talk about any sort of long-term projects, anything like that. Thanks.
All right. And we have co-chair of the Orientation Steering Committee for an Orientation Steering Committee report, Andrew Hyman.
We had, obviously, there was 14 orientation steering committee members who oversaw 6 different elections. Out of 170 or so orientation leaders, and ultimately we oriented 3,760, give or take, lead students. That included the chances. Orientation went extremely well, as some of you may or may not know. We did take that over to the previous assistant dean in the program.
I heard about some troubles on the OC in terms of your co-chair. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Supervisor this year and have been for the past 2 years. I've been involved in the program. They do an excellent job, really. I have to say, I want to commend you. We give about $76,000 to you, sounds about right, and they put on an amazing orientation program. Specifically with 360 Bedford leaving, I think, really all of the pressure put on you guys, and
real estate agent. And I think the handling of the culture situation could have been any better. So. Right.
Yeah, the money that we have from a local this time last year, funding, and that was really great help for us. And it allowed us to get a step after, which obviously was hugely successful in numbers of students and
right. And again, that was actually put in Appendix B, I think the last time around, that one of the events had to be culturally focused of some sort, and that I went to that event. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Andrew? Okay, great. Thank you very much. Next on the agenda, we have the GPSA update by Representative Andrew.
So this is quick. The first GPSA meeting, they're doing all their starting year stuff, surface drone vision. They're looking forward to working with us on issues that National GPSA and assembly. And they're going to build their GPSA by the time we finish our election too. That's their individual. One talk with Michelle, the president, and Maya, their vice president. One issue that they would like to, well, the one thing they're looking to change within their funding, their teaching for finance, they're looking to change their financial, their charter and finances. They could co-sponsor events with us. I don't know how our funding is, or how we can work. I'll talk to you guys about this, but if we can co-sponsor events with them, they're looking to change that because now they can't do it on their time on their end, and they're wondering if we can do it on our end, so we can perhaps do
We can co-sponsor events. I mean, our money. They're coming from entirely different sources, so we're not going to be getting, no one's getting money from like a body like the SAC or anything, but yeah, we can.
And that's what she was saying. On her end, she's looking to change that, Michelle, the president, so that if you want to co-sponsor, then
okay.
But
I guess we'll,
one issue that she's
okay. It might be good to explore that with, the Appropriations Committee at that first meeting, and maybe even invite Michelle or her VP Finance. We can see what we can do about that. Thank you.
Yep.
Anything else? Any questions for Vince? All right, next on the agenda, UA Undergraduate Chair Introduction and UA Update by Mark Fontana and Asa Craig.
Starting the ad hoc committee on her end, research committee for the COVID-19, and now we're promoting the campus. before I open up the questions, actually, I do want to add, I'm a note of the Cornell Sustainability Initiative, that I believe it was Monday. Apparently there was a formal... Tuesday. In the not-so-distant future, Cornell is apparently releasing our official carbon footprint report. There's basically a team that's a team of employees, staff, and administrators that I guess the president has hired or appointed. They're dealing with this, and they're coming up with all, they're gathering all this data and research and coming out with these reports like our carbon footprint. And then from there, they're going to be working on projects and initiatives. I've invited them to come here, and they will be when they let me know when they can, to give a report to us and see where we best fit into this large sustainability initiative, because it's very hard to see where undergraduates really fit in here, and I guess what we can do. So that will happen soon. Are there any questions or additional comments for Ethan Moore? That's awesome question. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Next we have, is that all set up, Alex? Okay, we'll go back to it then. All right, next I will give an update on the noise ordinance and noise citation issue. So I'm sure, I'm assuming you're all up to date on the lovely noise ordinance issue that College Town residents are facing. I've been having multiple discussions with people in government community relations here at Cornell. I've spoken to various city council members from the city of Ithaca. I don't want to waste your time. I know there's, I don't know how much you understand or don't understand, but I will say right now the student body has to figure out where we're focusing our efforts. So there's one issue is the actual ordinance, the actual piece of law that often students feel powerless in fighting. You often have to appeal it to up to higher levels, of course, and it takes time, money, resources, lawyers. We don't have that time. So in general, I don't know if that's the best way for us to focus our efforts. But working with the police and their methodology of enforcement is perhaps where we're going to focus. As we speak, the College Town Neighborhood Council, which I made sure a bunch of students that have at least been involved with this issue, are there. It's city council people, some administration, and a lot of College Town residents, permanent residents. They're discussing it. There are police officers there. We're going to see what comes out of that. Basically, we have to try to work, and the police have to try to work with us in forming a mutually beneficial agreement, if you will. So that's where we're at right now. Another thing I'm going to do, and I'll certainly open up a question, I'm going to be going down to a city council meeting, which is the first Wednesday of every month, and I invite any of you, and as much as you, as many of you as can, to come with me. I only have 3 minutes to speak, and they can get a stage badge. They cut you off for 3 minutes, and then, like, you know, that's it. So I'm going to have 3 minutes to get it all out, and then hope that after their open microphone, which there are usually a lot of people on the go, they're going to see if they are going to entertain the thought of bringing the ordinance back on the table for discussion. And I've been working with our student city councilman, Fonte Myrick, to make sure that happens. But that's what I'm going to do there. While I'm there, I'm also going to give out an official invitation for them to come to one of our SA meetings. I'm going to be emailing them all 3 dates in the month of October where they can come, and we will be joined by other bodies. So it will be the mayor, the police chief, city council members that will be invited. So that's where I'm at with this right now, and I welcome anyone who wants to help me and work on this with me. This is also PS, by the way. This is a good way to understand how you can really tackle issues. I know there are a lot of you guys and girls in the assembly. It's just finding an issue like this and talking to people, meeting with people, and then figuring out how it can be brought back formally to the assembly. So expect a lot of this very soon from all of you. But so again, that's where I'm at. Is there any questions? I would AC you first, and keep your hands up so I'll make this a good one. Good.
Okay. I was just wondering if you had a general conception of perceptions of the rule. Are they in favor of the higher policing, or are they sort of on the student side?
I guess that's pretty diverse at this point, and that's also what this meeting, perhaps after I speak to people after the meeting, they'll get a better idea. There are some there are a good portion that think it is unconstitutional, as I accuse it of being, and it's not fair, and it's not productive. College town students don't feel comfortable going to the police students like there was an emergency. You know, it's a very bad environment. But then there are some that have your bad generalized perception of Cornell students as being the rich, elite kids who don't care about anything, so we have to have these laws to control them. So there's both sides. I can't tell you which one's more.
And then just the last thing was, do we have administration support? Have we had any sort of announcement?
Mm-hmm. Right. I brought it up to President Gordon when we were on the radio together. I don't know if you all were able to listen to that. He said he's bringing it up. We didn't meet with Mayor Peterson. He actually thought they're not going to come out and say, oh, yes and no. But Gary Stewart is very much on our side, as well as he's worked in government community relations for Cornell. He's the assistant VP for Government Community Relations. I don't know if that's the official title. But then his boss, the VP, I can't remember his name now, it's terrible. The VP for Government Community Relations as well. You know, he had to say, he's on our side. And they're willing to help us, and they're going to help me get the city officials to our meeting so we can, you know, talk about things. VP Miller.
Thank you for your efforts on that part. At the end of the day, what progress do you think the Cornell students will be making? And what are your ultimate goals on the bottom of the team?
Well, again, assuming that you're going to focus on working with the Ithaca police and not necessarily having to sit in the city hall to get the noise ordinance changed. It's so that they understand our needs, we understand their needs, and the citation system is just more fair. One issue that comes to mind, they're giving out multiple citations for each house they go through. They're finding as many people as they get. You only need one. One will break up the party. One will shut people up. You don't have to put the financial burden on students who pay for their books to be alone. You know, so it's really to create create a collaborative environment with the police, and then work out a system and system and just to understand both their needs.
Thank you.
VP Mezzi.
What's the time of the meeting?
Which meeting?
City Council meeting?
I can't remember off the top of my head. It's the first Wednesday of the month. I'll email out all that information don't worry. I'll get it to you all. Representative Andrew. Yes. Yes. This is the city law.
It's
the police.
The Cornell police.
No. Representative Engelmeyer.
Is this a new problem, or is it more so a long-standing issue? And if it is new, and it's gotten worse, do you know why?
So the ordinance was enacted in 2004, I want to say. So since then, when the noise ordinance was changed to 25 feet, where police officers can ticket you within 25 feet. I mean, right now, you can hear me 25 feet away, and you can ticket me. And there's no warning needed, and there's no third-party citizen call needed. So those are the problems that led to clear infringement upon individual rights. So ever since that change was made, there was this problem. But this year in particular, this orientation, there were hundreds of citations given out. So this year in particular, the volume of citations has been high. So in that sense, it's a special change from this year.
Is that because they're cracking down, or?
I couldn't tell you. I can't imagine the dynamics of the environment in Palestine have been that drastically changed from last year to this year. That's what we hope to find out when we meet with these city officials. So the first thing I'm going to say is, okay, help me understand, you know, why, and then we'll go from there. I know there's a new police chief. I don't know if it's been a top-down policy that they, you know, that the police officers are now, you know, getting that from their boss. I don't know. So that we'll hopefully find that out from all these meetings.
Also, when you go there, are you going to take a constitutional stand in your 3 minutes?
Say that again.
Are you going to speak about infringement?
I'm going to focus on the fact that I'm going to give them you know, both of the paths where we feel like we can go and I'm going to stay, we'd like to work with city officials and the ISCA police in a mutually beneficial way of enforcing this. So, not necessarily that. I'm gonna mention that. I mean, there are, I've spoken to city council members who believe that. The vote was unanimous in this past. It's a very controversial issue. Representative, I want to use everyone's last name as the new clerk. Can you pronounce your last name?
Longzong.
Great take of the sun here, by the way. Representative Longzong.
I just have some questions on that side. Are we residents of Ithaca and can we vote in the local elections? And are we a constituent to vote for these people?
We're talking about the residents in College Town, the tax-paying citizens, you pay taxes through your lease. And, I mean, you have to register to vote in the city of Ithaca to actually vote in the city of Ithaca. You can't automatically be voting citizens.
So, yeah, I guess if we're not, if the constituency, the majority of people that view, you know, as you were saying, the students with rats, you know, and we're not the constituency, and we have nobody.
No, we're a constituency. How government, anyone who's under the law, anyone who's in the city district is under that law, we're still a constituency.
No, but what I mean is that if you don't have a voting power, that means
that
the people, they don't have any interest to protect our interests of the party.
Right. Okay.
If they only protect the interests of other families to be able to sleep.
I understand what you're saying, and that's what they say, usually not students, but the current residents have said. There's a student city councilman, Sandra Myron, on there. There's always been two. Right now, the second one is vacant, it's being held by permanent residents. So that's two students on the city council office. Yes, we have representation on the city council, absolutely. And what was your second question?
In fact, we're making the city live, and I feel that the city is basically ripping off time, not only on alcohol, but on many issues. And I was wondering how, if we're voting, it's actually the way of getting people to register more to vote for those elections that we have people that represent our interests.
Absolutely.
Not just a minority of us.
I would say absolutely.
Benefiting from us, but ripping us off on time.
I would say I agree entirely, but what I alluded to before is, you know, which battle can we really win in the very near future? Because this is a problem right now. Yeah, we'll have to mobilize a lot of students to vote and then vote and then, you know, run more. Perhaps we just need to work with the police right now. That's where I see our efforts being best made. But that's not the same thing to the other. I mean, there are two things we should absolutely, if we believe this is wrong, we should fight it. The laws can be changed. This law particular has been changed a lot. So, but you know, I welcome all. Right. Right. DP Junior.
Okay, I have some questions. Primarily regarding how the university feels about it and how they're protecting students around. Just because I feel like they do generally view College Town for being sent on the campus. I mean, let's be honest, housing every year is kind of rough for students. If they work for College Town, I mean, I don't really know where students would live. So have they explored the option instead of students getting fined? Do they do service or not like a page, but have they thought about that at all?
Good question. That was brought up in the meeting today. You know, something that we can use as kind of a bargaining tool is if the police stop giving out multiple citations, which they don't have to do, you know, they're choosing to do that. Mark still here?
No, he left.
No. You can correct Mark. The judicial code, campus code of conduct now has jurisdiction off campus.
Yeah.
Technically those means already exist where someone can be JA'd, someone has to actually JA them, but someone can be JA'd if they get a noise violation. You know, if they're more understanding and conservative with their citations, maybe we can say, well, we'll involve the university in the process, in the judicial process. That might be a good tool to use. So that has been discussed.
Are they willing to do that?
I don't know.
Oh.
That was just an idea that Gareth Stewart had mentioned that we could bring up. That would be later on, of course.
Okay.
Romney Smith, is there anyone else I missed over here?
No.
Perfect, can you? Can you just speak the mic? Because the
quality. Okay, so what can happen is that a citation can be made and can go to the GA and then if he determines if it is violation of the code of conduct, then sort of decides whether it goes to the attorney board or what actually happens with it. And I do agree that that's probably a good bargaining chip for you, Ryan. So I might suggest just be careful because, I mean, it could become one of those things where sort of like you push down on one end and then it brings up your core flow. An increased caseload for the GA, and I do know that this year that actually is the major worry. Well, it is a worry in the GA office just whether expanding the code to offering jurisdiction will create a manageable volume. So, but I do think that's a good problem. That's good.
Yeah, I entirely agree. Anyone else?
Hey, everyone. Quick question. How are we educating students about specifying and things like that? Should at least want the students that
That'd be a great idea. That'd be a great idea for any representative to do. Yep. If you want, you can take that high stay one, I know. There's a lot of great people here. Yes. Yeah.
So if the citation is referred to the JA and you decide that it's a JA violation, is the citation like null and void?
I'm actually not sure precisely what happens if that's the case, because all I heard, I only know this from the JA's perspective. I don't actually know if that's a citation. Also, the sort of at the outside legal sphere. I think if what citation is made, it has to exist in the outside legal sphere as well. But perhaps Ryan can bring up just how that does almost create a double sort of punishment for one thing.
I'm gonna move on from the problem because that's not even something that's going to be brought up in the near future. I mean, that's something down the line if we're like literally at a point where we're at a bargaining table or something. Which I hope it doesn't even get to that. So that's the general update. I'll definitely have more information next week. I think that's a great idea. I'm sure most college town residents are aware and have been in the sun. There's been plenty of disclosure, but if that's something that we want to make quota cards or we want to draft an email out, something like that, excellent idea. Someone can get on that and let me know. Before we move on, any other announcements and reports that are not being done? Okay, moving on. This is the business of the day, Resolution 2. Representative Rochelle, an Ivy Council presentation.
Grab the mic and hold it.
Yeah.
Grab the mic and hold it.
Collaboration, and the goal is to discuss
numbers and Lenrock numbers.
Here comes the students with five words from the different eight aggregate schools making representations at conferences. And there's three main conferences each year. There are each semester there's an annual or semi-annual conference. There's also the aggregate leadership summit and aggregate courses. And as you can see, you're north.
All right.
So at the semi-annual conference, the host is for Ivy League institutions. This year, it's going to be Columbia. Last semester, we had Cornell for that Yale. And basically, like I said before, this involves in their discussion of various issues across the Ivy League, distinguished schools, as well as student population across the country. Discuss different issues, some topics that we discussed at Cornell conference. The Ivy Leadership Summit is an annual 2-day conference, usually in February, last February, in the University of Pennsylvania. The goal of this is to bring together students, business leaders, academics, professionals, and also political leaders. And they usually have a keynote speaker. Last year was Edward Delaware from Pennsylvania. Previous years, Steve Porter and Theo Porter. And Ivy Court, this is like the community service arm of Ivy Capital. And the goal of this is to bring together the faculty, students, and community members, and also to increase volunteers and strengthen the community side. With the past events have been Relay for Life of the American Cancer Society, as well as the AAU victims working. And a special event that was held at the beginning of the summer was Ivy China. This took place between May and June. And student government leaders from across the Ivy League traveled through Beijing and Shanghai. They met with state leaders and other Chinese university students discussing various issues trying to bring Ivy League to the Ivy League and the European Federal Society. Okay, and this is an actual conference, which I hope all of you are interested in attending, all of you are welcome to attend. And this year, it's actually at Columbia University. It's actually the weekend of the fall break, so it's a little bit unfortunate that we can have worked out for everyone. Hopefully you guys attend. Friday evening, they have a welcoming gathering session. And then Saturday, we have a breakdown discussion session, like I mentioned before, talking to you from dining, giving them life to sustainability, and we have a breakout session and multiple breakout sessions. It's actually really enjoyable, really interesting. Each university has to share with the school, what their school, share their discussion. It is really effective. So if you're interested in that question, you can email me at ral47x1l.edu, and also we'll be talking about that now.
Thanks, Alan. I've been on Ivy Council since 2006, when Ryan was a delegate, actually. For the new members, it's a really fun organization to join. You do get to go out and meet with the Ivy League kids and, you know, get a feel for what their colleges are like and how they solve their problems. Alan, quick question. How many people can go to these conferences? Well, I know there's usually a limit on how many attendees there can be.
This year,
What tradition has been the protocol with what we finance in terms of this trip?
Each delegate, both well, and in the past it's been about $20 to $30 per delegate to attend that IB council. I don't have exact numbers yet, Columbia has not come up with that.
Is that like a registration fee kind of thing?
Yeah,
that's more than that.
I think it's like 50.
I think it was more than that. I think it was a lot more than that. They decreased it a lot this year.
What the game has told me is being and the president of the IB council. He has told me that it was
okay, that it will be. Okay.
Yes. Right. You know, I mean, if I have a conference call with him at 3 p.m. on Friday, so I will send an email. In the past, especially for ILS, I've been leadership on the larger conference. We usually take about 50, 55, and we have charter bus, like I did last year, from here to the University of Pennsylvania. So there are costs.
Do we pay for hotel rooms? Or okay, and then is there like travel reimbursements or food reimbursements?
Yeah, there are travel reimbursements. Most members usually try to bring a car. If I have a car, so I can use four others. I don't think some of us will be driving this year. But anyone else with a car, right?
Probably should leave this car here from a liability perspective.
Yeah.
I just went off of that. I know last year, the leadership summit is getting ready to bus, so there's not going to be a bus or anything.
I think we're getting to a bus. The problem is the number of, we have the audience who wants to call us.
And break starts when?
Break starts, I believe, it's 1:30 or so on Saturday, so.
Yeah, it's that good.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Thanks, Alex. Right. Okay, business of the day. Resolution 2, creation of an ad hoc academic integrity drafting committee by B.G. Davis. Representative Craig.
I assume going off with are there going to be applications or something for students that want to be involved, or how do you know?
What you say?
No, I have a lot of this is not that formal at all. I just don't have a lot of support, a lot of different points of view. If you go to school here and you walk into this community.
Anyone else want to speak before I go to the second speaker's list? Representative Sales.
Call the question.
Going to call the question for a second.
Second.
For the second arrangement. I will call the question. So right now we're voting. Oh, yeah, sorry. 2 minutes.
Yeah, I guess the employee council is also on here and then of course do that, but they express interest in being part of the community. So, very much so, with an employee coming to,
Thank you. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. He abstained. He doesn't vote.
I don't know.
No. Okay. What's the birthday count you have? 11? Okay, so with 11, 0% and 0 abstentions, resolution 2 passes. Thanks, Rick. Resolution 4. This should actually be new business. No, new business again, sorry. Resolution 4, charge change review, DG Basil. DG Basil. As DG Basil makes the table, just to give an update summary, for those of you who are returning SA members, you understand what this is. For those of you who aren't, a group last year, as a result of the SWOT analysis, also as a result of the Charter Review Committee, which is chaired by Maslick Asbury, there were a large number of proposed changes to the Charter, which is all in this packet here. At the end of last semester, we did review the first 3 chapters. However, the entire document was not voted on for approval or not, and the document is later chapters and later proposed changes relate to the ones in the beginning. We're a brand new assembly, so fortunately or unfortunately, however you look at it, we're going to start from scratch with this document. This is not going to be something we're doing in 1 meeting or 2 meetings, probably not even 3. This is going to be sort of an ongoing process. It's a little more dry, but it is important to how, you know, we think we should best operate as a body internally and externally. So we are going to go through with DC Basil presenting them, and I want to emphasize the veterans that are here. I'm going to refer you guys as veterans, whatever. The veterans that are here are really trying to give us as much insight as they can, and rationale, so that'll help everyone with discussion. So that's where I'm at. If anyone have any questions about that,
are we also voting on things one by one today?
No. This is how we're going to do it, and then anyone else can motion to vote in a certain way if you think it's not doesn't fit. The best thing to do with this, specifically because it's a lot of charter changes and it will have to be submitted to President Scorton for approval after, we'll vote on the document as a whole at the very end. So if you can think of it as one large resolution that if you want to make any changes to what is there right now, you can amend it.
And we're going to go change.
So it's a rolling, basically a rolling document. What's that?
We're going to go change by change throughout the
time. Essentially, we're going to go change by change.
Basically, what I think the problem was, if you spend 20 minutes in each change, you just didn't want to agree on it. Everyone thought they had to agree they did this. So, it's pretty straightforward. First person to let you have questions.
Well, sorry, I don't know if you missed it, but we're not going to necessarily call the question every change. So this is the document we're going to vote on as is, and if people want to change some of the polls in here, you can motion to amend. So that actually, I think, will go faster. So I forgive the introduction, but now I'll hand over to you. And can you give a little more of an introduction about the activities, the goals, and
then I'd also like to see when we're talking about amendments. What happened last week, we discussed about the amendment and there was an amendment. Us have that discussion at the beginning where
you're encouraging representatives to act like that.
Yeah.
How's it going through? Yeah.
Yeah.
Did anyone want to reiterate that one more time?
I would encourage everyone to be very forthcoming with amendments and be good with the process so that if you have something that you think someone proposes something, you have something you think will be better, go ahead and go back, and get some approvals or something about it, move to it, you won't find that and you have a few that are better.
Okay. Any other questions before we begin? No.
Are we voting on a resolution today?
No.
This? No?
No.
Okay.
Oh, the resolution for this? For the charter?
Yes. Resolution 4.
No, no. This is, we're going to review this entire document. It's going to take multiple meetings before we can actually approve it. That's kind of, you can think of that kind of like a cover letter to this. So we're not going to approve the resolution until we're ready to approve all of the charter changes.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, because it says vote upon them individually, but we're only going to vote on ones we have issues with. We're going to vote on the whole document as a whole. Because if you read the "be it therefore resolved," as they consider each change proposed and vote on them individually.
Thank you for pointing that out. DC Basil will change that "be it therefore resolved" clause for next meeting. We're not even really
okay.
Hearing this.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah,
thank you. That's how it was done last year, if you guys remember. So at the end of the semester, that's why it really didn't get paused. So. Nope. Okay.
Another question.
Yep.
Are we going to plan to maybe like break this up by chapter and say like our goal is these two chapters or this chapter so that we can kind of...
We're going to go through this together and I think generally what I want everyone, where I want everyone to come from is the committee identifies that there are some problems in the charter. I want everyone to think about what's been written here as more identifying problems than just coming up with solutions. So don't necessarily agree with what's written, but realize that there may be some wrong there. Think about it openly, that you know what's written here is code corrections and necessarily where it is. So don't come into it from the mindset of, oh, this is the gospel, this is what's written here, and it's right.
Okay. Okay, so then I'm going to go back to normal procedure in this meeting.
Were these new changes or were these represented as the hearing changes that we didn't finish?
This is the document, the original document from last semester. We didn't even get to half of it. So in the sense of what we're looking at almost more than half is new because we never even heard it yet, but the first is the same thing.
I just
thought,
was there only
representative
as
the
committee?
Right, there was a committee. He's chair of it. Okay. D.T. Basil, you have the floor.
Just
a quick
question.
Wait,
so here's a
good
one. I just showed the way. Basically, the line that added is obviously simply from the line that takes support assembly, while the community directly responsible assembly. So this is basically the office of the for, and this is sort of giving the office of the role, and I think that's it. I don't know if it's a good line, but that line from the office of the service line.
I'll comment on one that I thought told me
to say that
last year. Oh, introduce
yourself as well. So I'm sorry that you know,
in terms of though administrative support, you do, when a committee makes a purchase or something like that, you do help to facilitate some of the administrator of the committee kind of transactions that might happen. Yeah. So there is some administrative role.
There is some support.
Okay.
Anyone else?
So along. I guess this is the issue with the command exchange where five simple actions assembly have been broken down from paragraph form to sort of list form, one to five. So
what was that?
I have a point information.
Yes. Sorry, hold on. I'm sorry.
I just was curious about how many people have been able to read this beforehand. And then the other thing, can I make one?
Yep.
I wanted to make a motion to table this till next week so we can have a chance to read it over. I personally can't think this quickly and read the rationale and read the things. I mean, I don't know about the rest of you. I think it might be more productive to the conversation if we can all commit to reading this, looking it over, making some notes, and then coming back next week, having a productive discussion after we have had a chance to look at it and let it kind of dwell for a week with us, and then move forward. So I'm going to make that motion.
What? Okay, so that was the motion. Is there any dissenting tabling? Okay. On that note, however, I would like to say, was this emailed out with the agenda as an attachment?
Yes.
Okay. I understand we all have learning curves to overcome, and then you're all going to meet with your veterans, and we're going to have our essay retreat. I'm going to do want to let you know when everything is sent out over the essay listserv Wednesday early evening. There is an expectation that everyone goes through that information. So productive debate and discussion can happen here. So just want to make that clear. Nobody made the motion. There was no dissent. Are you dissenting?
No. I just want to make a comment that in the future, it is a little bit unreasonable to expect every representative to read through a document this size. And perhaps if there is something similar in the future, we can send it out more than, 24 hours in advance.
Sure. That's a good point noted. However, I think it was also an understanding, perhaps it wasn't made clear, we would have never, you don't get through this in one meeting. It would have been, the first chapter, maybe one and a half. So certainly, maybe that should have been mentioned in when we sent out. Yeah, very good. Wait, I'm sorry, just for the sake of we have to keep this, so everyone also learns the procedure. So direct any questions towards me, and then I'll...
I want to ask whether, in the final document, the rationale should be included in the
I can't understand you.
I'm going to ask whether the rationale that are included in the document right now,
okay,
should be included in the final document, and I said
right, okay, yeah. If you mean the final charter document. Yeah, no, our charter doesn't have, okay, yeah. The final piece of the part of the resolution will. Okay, this has been tabled. Where's my gun? Yes.
Was there submitted a record of their meeting, so that was their discussion that they had, their minutes from when they went over this?
The Charter Review Committee? I believe there is. Ari? Do you know about that? What? Okay.
I was on think
you included the rationale. Okay, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I think the rationale I just kind of started with minutes. There's nothing else on the agenda. We will kind of move into executive session, but this, we don't need executive session, but not executive session. No one needs to leave. Really no care anyway. A few things I wanted to cover. Okay. I would ask, actually, Tony, if you can cover any...
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.